Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Amanda Grace here with you live today. Sadie is on my desk, public service announcement. As you all know, she knocked me out of StreamYard the other day, and I had to come back in. So she's on the desk. Toby's behind me. You can't really see him. And we are going to bring Andrew Sorcini in just a couple of minutes. We have him here to talk about some things that are going on. We are still in Passover. So this is another aspect I'd like to bring into this, but we are still in Passover until tomorrow is when Passover ends, basically at sundown. So we are having this conversation and what's happening in the markets right now and what's going on during Passover. I'm going to open up in prayer. I'm going to announce for tomorrow night's broadcast because I want you all to mark your calendars for this, and then we're going to bring Andrew on. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us and cleanse us, Lord. We acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth. He died for our sins. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He rose again in 3 days. He ascended back into heaven. He took his rightful, victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place and to fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord, to go before us and lead and guide us, Lord. Father, give us wisdom. Lord, teach us to be good stewards, Lord, of what you've given us. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to know what to do with what you have given us, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless this conversation that we are about to have, Father. Lord, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. You deserve all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oh, there it is. We're putting it up. Tomorrow is the prophetic mystery that is being unlocked in the Kentucky Derby. There is a prophetic mystery in this year's Kentucky Derby, and the Lord started showing it to me last week, but like the final piece that connected everything, the pieces he gave to me this morning, mark your calendars for this. We are going to be live for this event tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yes, there is a mystery in the Kentucky Derby. That's for sure. Okay, so mark your calendars for that. Looking very forward to that as well. Now let's bring in Andrew Sorcini.
Hey,
hello, Andrew.
I'm great. Happy to be back.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have you back, Andrew. And we want to discuss right now, what are some of the major things you see going on right now in the markets that people need to know about? So they need to know what moves they should make with what's happening.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that came in over the weekend is we found out that last week, the regulators, federal regulators, closed Republic First Bank, which is the first bank failure of the year. So it's interesting because last year was First Republic. This one's Republic First Bank.
Last year was First Republic.
Yeah.
This year is Republic First.
Exactly.
Do we all find that prophetically just strange?
It's unbelievable, actually.
Okay.
So that's the first bank failure. And what they've been doing is that when they take one over that's failing, then another bank just consolidates and takes ownership of that. So here, when a slew of banks failed last year. Oh, go ahead.
I find the name, Andrew, just keeps sticking out to me, Republic First. They want to close the Republic First. Just think about that for a minute.
We couldn't make this stuff up.
No.
So
wow.
That's okay. The first failure. And you know, the banks are really are still in trouble. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of stuff happen at the banks here in California. I've received many letters from both Chase and Wells Fargo about changes that they're doing.
Yes.
To the deposits and what is reported and what's not. And I got a letter from Wells Fargo where they talked about a service that they used to offer to me to be able to do wire transfers by phone with voice. They could like recognize my voice and then the wire transfers could go through. But the content of the letter wasn't really what was interesting to me. It was the first sentence or so where it said something like, as we move to a national digital payment system, there are some services that we have that we won't need anymore. And I'm just thinking, a digital payment system. Like we've been talking about that now for a couple of years. And this is really happening. I know it just sounds like a crazy idea, but the central bank gold backed digital currency, this is happening. It's it may not be the prevailing digital currency here in America. We might create something that's bigger and better like we always do. And that might be what we use, but cash is dead now.
So what would you ask people to do as far as keeping cash in their home? Because a lot of people have questions about this, Andrew, because everything's being moved to a digital sort of currency. What would people do about keeping cash in their homes?
I think that the cash that was in people's homes has already started making its way back into the bank. And,
okay.
And I know that because there are clients that we've dealt with for years, even people that are Ark of Grace listeners for just the past few years that have reached out to us and they said, look, I just want to tell you, I've been saving cash for decades. And one gentleman, he had over $500,000 in cash. He's a board member on one of the banks. And every couple of years, he swaps out the older bills for the newer bills. And he made sure that he always had like new $100 bills. But he came out here in a Winnebago like the year before last year. And with all that cash and bought gold with it. Like he literally handed us $500,000 in cash and bought gold with it. And
wow.
The people realized that, you know, before, if you wanted security, you could put cash in a sock drawer under the mattress and a shoebox up in the closet. And that's how you had something immediate for emergency. But people now are starting to realize that cash, if cash is dead, then it's going to start finding its way back into the bank. And then that's when we will fully move to a central bank digital currency or some sort of digital payment system.
So should people keep any in the house?
I think you should keep some. Like, okay. Let's say that that there's a flood in your area, like we've seen in Dubai, that crazy flooding that they had recently, and you have like an emergency where it's just apparent that you're not going to be able to take your car to go somewhere if you run out of milk or eggs or water or things that you feel that you need, you're going to need some cash. I agree with that. Yeah. Or even something to barter with, like the gold and silver that you always hold up.
Yep, I have it.
Yeah. And that would be great.
Mm-hmm. So, I have it. Now, Sadie, don't touch the rest of this because Sadie's on the desk and she will play with it. Okay. This and this.
And that right there is where it's at. So the gold coin, that's a $20 gold piece. They call it right a double there. Eagle. And it's that particular one. Is a Saint Gaudens gold coin. It's back in the day was $20, and now those are it has more than an ounce of or it has an ounce of gold in it, and it's worth more than an ounce of gold, which is actually a great item to have. The other coin is a 90% silver half dollar, and I like those because
Ben Franklin.
Yeah, it's a Ben Franklin half dollar, and we've had a lot of people reach out recently that are asking about copper. We don't offer copper, but one thing. That half dollar that you have, okay, 10% of that is copper. Mm-hmm. And when you buy that, you're buying it for the value of just the silver, not the copper content. So one day, those are going to be worth considerably more because of the copper, because the price of copper has been going up. So
okay.
That's one way for you to own two types of metal in a single coin.
Well, exactly. And so basically what I like about the silver as well is that you can do this with the gold too, but in an emergency, you know, this is in smaller denominations too. So you can readily for everyday items use this.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that people ask me all the time, and they'll say, well, how will I know exactly what each item is worth in a bartering situation? And I just tell them, I go, look, you won't know until we're actually in that situation. Mm-hmm. So if it was a prolonged, internet outage or power outage, or if you couldn't use your vehicles because there was a flood or earthquake or whatever, if this lasted for any length of time, it would be apparent by some way of communicating that a 90% quarter is worth a certain amount, or a Ben Franklin half dollar is worth a certain amount. And mm-hmm. at that point, you would be able to transact however you need to. Or like if I was your neighbor and there was an emergency situation, or let's just say that your neighbor is not as big a Christian as say we are, okay, they wouldn't just give you something that you needed. Mm-hmm. They're going to want some form of payment. At least you could offer that, or vice versa, and transact that way. And that's what people think will happen.
Okay. I'm going to ask everyone in the chat to get your questions ready for Andrew. And I want you to talk about, Andrew, a bit about the gold-backed and the metal-backed IRAs, because you say you get a lot of questions about that. And so maybe you can talk to everybody, too, about why they're so good, how quick they are to do and roll over and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's right now we're seeing an influx of people that are reaching out wanting to roll over 401ks and IRAs into a precious metals IRA. And these are silver backed and gold backed, but they're backed by real gold and silver that is sitting in a storage facility in Delaware in an account with your name on it. So this isn't like a paper type of asset. And really, anytime that we see a pullback or volatility in the stock market, that's when the interest in these precious metals IRAs start to really go through the roof. And we're seeing that now. I mean, the volatility that we've seen in the stocks this year is unbelievable. So mm-hmm. It's very, very risky for most of the people out there because they're not professional traders and their risk tolerance isn't as strong as a company that trades for a living. So when you see a stock that you have drop by 10 or 15% in a short period of time, they get scared and they sell it. Then they don't know what to do with those funds. So mm-hmm. putting it into gold and silver right now is a great idea, especially if we are going to a gold-backed central bank digital currency. You already own the gold that backs that. Like, and what's good for gold is great for silver. So I'm not purposely leaving silver out, but you'll be in on the ground floor. It would be like buying Apple stock back when it first came out and holding it until now. It would be one of the greatest things ever.
So as far as the gold back IRAs, what are the requirements for people to roll them over? So as far as getting them for people, and say people have an IRA somewhere else, say that what would be the requirements for rolling it over?
Okay, so let's say you have an IRA over at Fidelity, and let's say that you wanted to roll over all of it or a portion of it into a gold or silver IRA. Well, then all you would simply do is we schedule a time with you right on the telephone for like a day later or 2 days later or 3 days later, where it's an onboarding call where we set you up with Equity Trust Company, which is the IRA custodian that we use. And they ask you to be prepared by having your most recent statement from, say, Fidelity or whichever company you're with in front of you. For reference, that's how they get the account numbers, your name, address, everything. And they actually create an account, and you'll have an account number on that same phone call. So you'll have an open account for Precious Metals IRA with an account number on that call. The next step would be to have the funding done. So for people that are fully invested in their IRA, you would need to liquidate whatever's in there and have it sit in cash. And then Equity Trust is going to initiate a transfer from Fidelity to Equity Trust. But they take care of all that. And, okay. And this is not a taxable event either. So your financial advisor might tell you that it is, just to try to scare you out of this idea. They don't want you to do it. But it is not a taxable event. You have 60 days to transfer and have it not be taxable. So you could actually cash it out take cash, go do whatever you want with it, as long as you were able to get that cash back within 60 days and roll it over somewhere else.
Okay. This is a good question, Andrew, from Les 3D. Will holders of silver and gold be required to surrender their coins as the case in the early 20th century?
I don't believe so. And I love that question. And the reason why is that we're more in a taxable environment now. So if you have, like, I could see them wanting to tax you on what you have more than trying to take it away. So back in 1933, for people that aren't aware of what happened, FDR actually did outlaw the gold that was in circulation, and people had to go and turn it in at the bank for paper notes. Those were still gold backed, but you couldn't exchange them for gold anymore. And that was the end of gold in our change. And Bo Polny always says that most of the currencies of the world, they tend to not last more than 90 years. So that's right about where we're at. That was like 90 years ago. So if cash is dead down, we're moving to a digital currency. It makes sense. It's well within line of what typically happens.
Okay, this is an interesting question from Forbidden Planet. Now, I always remember that screen handle because it's a unique screen handle. But Andrew, do you foresee the COMEX going out with dump trucks to major cities to buy all the silver they can to fulfill contracts like they did for a short time in 1980?
I do think that could happen because I remember back in, I think it was like 2011, when silver hit the all-time high. If you drove by around any cash for gold place or any brick and mortar coin store, they had lines going out the front door and all the way around with people trying to sell because so many people were out there buying. Now the COMEX, that's huge. That's for people out there that aren't aware, COMEX is who backs the futures contracts for both gold and silver. So to directly answer that question, COMEX was actually selling more contracts than what they could back by real silver. So they had to go out there, buy silver, however they could. So okay. It could happen.
A Golden Joy will say GLD and Golden Joy never bought gold or silver before. Where to start? Where did they start, Andrew?
Well, definitely reach out to us on our website or send me an email at that email address or call the toll-free number and leave a message and we'll get back with you. But really start small. It's if you're a lot of people out there, they've never done it before. They love to maybe go in big with it, but they're scared because they don't know what to expect. And they even call me, like if they make a purchase, say $20,000, they say, okay, my gold and silver are here now. Now, what do I do? I go, you just look at it, inspect it. Most people like to enjoy the designs of the different items that they get. And then just put it away somewhere safe. And then one day you're going to see that gold and silver reach an all-time high again. And then you're going to want to pull it out and look at it. And that's it. Just put it away for emergency, just like you would anything else.
You know, it's interesting, Andrew, that you tell them to start out buying smaller and doing those things and getting themselves used to it and getting their feet wet in it, because me and Andrew both talk about this, you know, because we want you to make a decision you feel comfortable with as far as stewarding what God has given you. And Andrew certainly does not like to, we'll say, fear monger. And he really even tells you to pray about it. And he even goes as far as to tell you that when you call, be very specific what you need so he can match you with the right person that can absolutely go through with you step by step if this is something very new for you. So all of this is important when you call Andrew to tell him.
Absolutely. And I actually read every single submission that comes in. So sometimes I'll get messages from people that will say things like, I'm on Social Security. I get very, very little in retirement and I'm truly on a fixed income. I'm not sure I can afford this. And sometimes they go into more detail mm-hmm. about where they're at. And I'm looking at my phone. Maybe I know I shouldn't be doing this, but maybe I'm at a red light in traffic and I just want to respond right then. Because if I don't respond right then oftentimes I might not get to it later. So I'll send them a text and say, look, it's thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. Gold and silver, definitely great assets to have on hand. close by just in case of emergency. But based on the information that you've given me, it might be best for you to just sit on a little bit of cash. And while we're still using cash, and just hold off on the gold and silver right now, and then circle back later. And they're usually pretty grateful, because it's like, usually if you have a company and you're selling something, you're going to give somebody a reason, any reason in the world why they need your service. But for some people, it might not be a good fit, at least right now.
Okay. Edris is asking, is there any difference having your money in a bank or a credit union? I'll have you answer this, Andrew, or I'll let Sadie out of the room while she's staging a protest by the door right now because she wants out. So let Andrew answer that.
Yeah, it the credit unions are supposed to be safer because they're not governed by the same financial institutions at the government that they're considered to be a lot safer. So yes, your funds should be a lot safer there than they would at, say, Chase or Wells Fargo. But mm-hmm. then you're limited sometimes as to some of the services that you would have available because if you're, like, say, traveling. But we don't use one here, but I know that they are safer.
Victoria Charrington is asking, where's the best place to get gold or silver coins?
I think reaching out to us, Beverly yep. Hills Precious Metals, we have an obligation to our advertising partners, like especially if you're an Ark of Grace listener. We feel obligated to do the best job that we can with you, and we always will. So at least give us a shot and reach out to us. It's like Amanda said earlier, this isn't a high-pressure deal. We're happy to educate you on this, and if you opt to not do anything now, we know that people come back later. So we have people reach out all the time, and they, in the little note section, they say, you know, I reached out a couple of years ago. I didn't do anything, but I think that I'm ready now. And okay. and I look up and I see that they did reach out a couple times oftentimes, and then they do proceed. That's fine. I think that's a good way to do it. Just get a little bit of education and then proceed.
GM Planel is asking, I want to find a secure location to store my coin/money. Any ideas at all? And how long do you think this transition will take place once it begins?
Well, one place that I wouldn't keep it at is the bank, because, you know, some people do keep their valuables in a safe deposit box. But let's say that your safe deposit box is at Republic First Bank that just went under, and you needed to get something out. And let's say that there was news leading up to that where the account holders found out that they were failing and there's lines of people trying to take their money out of the bank. There's not a special line for people that have a safe deposit box. You have to stand in that long line. When the cash is gone, then they close the bank. So you don't have a key to the door. You have a key to the box, but you don't have a key to the front door. So for me, I would not keep it there. You just keep it somewhere safe at home that a burglar wouldn't think to look. I've heard of people that have like a coffee table that maybe you have like a lot of books or whatever on top of it, but it actually lifts up and has an opening inside. I think somewhere like that is nice and safe. If you've got a gun safe, that's even better. Mm-hmm. That's what I personally do. And that's what I would recommend to anybody else.
Tabitha Nash, is there a way to convert a 401k through employer if you are still working for them?
There is, but okay. It doesn't always work. You just have to go to your human resources and ask them. Just say, look, I would like to roll over a portion of this to another IRA custodian. And I realize that oftentimes we're not allowed to if we still work at the place that the 401k originated at. But there are cases when you could roll over a portion of it, maybe 20 or 30%. So ask them, and you'd be surprised. Some of them can be done, but most of the time they cannot.
Renee, who is one of our moderators, she had said, I asked a question last time about selling BHPM gold and getting paid in silver, but I forgot to ask, what are the taxes on that? So is it a taxable event?
So on that, there isn't, because what we do is we just call it a swap. So mm-hmm. let's say that Renee had X amount of gold and she wants to trade it for silver. We would send her a purchase order and an invoice that offset each other, and we don't report that at all. Now, if you were to go to your local brick and mortar coin place, they do report that. So the local places are bound to different rules as far as the reporting. So we could do that anytime. And I know we have bought from Renee before, and she's had great transactions with us.
Lori Haynes, what's your advice for a very low income person to try and prepare? Would you stick to coin or something else?
Well, I would keep some cash, okay, and I would keep coins too. So I would have silver. Okay. If you have a low income, but a little bit of money saved, if you just had like a couple $1,000 worth of silver on hand, I think that's a great way to start.
Oh my goodness. People are asking if they could, well, they could do this in the right environment. Danny, you could do this in the right environment. He said, could I trade a car for gold or silver? That would be a barter.
Yep.
It that would be considered a barter, right?
When we were at the office prior to the one that we're at now, this is back in like 2008 or 2009, a guy literally did trade his van for gold and silver. He did. Like, it actually came on a flatbed. I was looking out the window in my office, looking down. I could see it right there in the median, coming off of a truck. But yes, you can do it. We don't do anything like that anymore. But back then, I just wanted a chance to tell the story that it can happen and it has.
Rick Pounds is asking, how practically usable is it if you liquidate to do commerce? Won't they give you digital currency?
Yeah.
So how practically usable is, yeah.
You know, Rick asked a great question. So like recently when gold reached an all-time high, it was about $100 an ounce higher than it is now.
Okay.
It actually broke $2,425 for 1 ounce. And I think it's going much higher. But people would ask me, they say, okay, I know you've been talking about gold for a long time. You have a bunch of gold personally. They go, so what do? Do you sell it? I go, no, what am I going to sell it for? I sell it for cash that's not backed by anything real. So, and I certainly don't want to have to sell it for a digital currency either. To me, I want to have the tangible asset, whether it be gold, silver, or even real estate. So no, I wouldn't want to sell it for cash if cash is still here, or even digital currency.
Okay. Okay. Maggie's asking, I'm going to be 59 and a half. Somebody told me if you're 59 and a half, you can use some of your savings. How do I do that? And will that be taxed?
You know, I've been asked this question a couple times recently, and I think that you should check with your IRA custodian. So I believe that this is for a pension, because usually when people ask about the 59 and a half thing, it has to do with that. So the reason why I don't know the exact answer to that question is that there are different thresholds, 59 and a half, and then there's 66, and like there's different thresholds that mean different things. So and they keep changing the rules. So it'd be better to check with your IRA custodian to find out how that would work.
Okay. Terry is asking, is a silver certificate bill worth more than reserve notes?
They are, because of their nostalgia value. So if you have like a $1 silver certificate, it's got, in comparison, if you were to pull out a $1 bill now, it has a green stamp on it, and it's about the size of a penny. Well, the silver certificates have a blue one, and that's for silver. And then there used to be even gold certificates. And really, when we went off of the gold standard, technically, the value for it being a gold and silver certificate is gone. But because they are old notes, and because people do collect them, they are worth more.
Mama's Girl Boutique is asking, Andrew, do you think people should invest in more junk silver or American Eagles, or what do you recommend?
I like the junk silver. And for people out there,
Yes.
It's if we're dealing, say, dealer to dealer, we call it junk silver. But I try not to use that phrase too much.
Yeah, this is not junky. I mean, it has value. There is silver in it. I mean, so it's, yeah.
Yeah. So where that term comes from is in the late 60s, people were talking like, hey, you know, silver is not going to be in the coins anymore. They're going to start making them with other metals, and silver is going to completely go away as far as being something that makes a coin. So you when you go through your change at the end of the day, you pull out the silver coins and you put it in a bucket, and that's junk silver. And they said, one day it's going to be worth something. Well, today is that day, and it is worth something. So we just call it like 90% silver. People still do call it junk silver. I think that's the best thing to get, because you can barter with it. You can barter, like there's different denominations, dimes, quarters, mm-hmm. half dollars, or even silver dollars. I think it's a great way to go.
Oh, here, Andrew, we can have you talk about this. Milagros is saying, a friend of mine was interested in buying gold and silver, was told there was an $8,000 minimum.
Oh, then have them please have them reach out to us again. The minimum now is $2,000 and has mm-hmm. been for a while. I do hear sometimes that that different people at the company will maybe not be aware of what that minimum is and quote like a higher one, but it is $2,000. Now, maybe that might be for a retirement account. So if they're talking about a retirement account, then maybe. So for retirement accounts, if you're rolling over a 401k or an IRA, you really shouldn't do it if you're working with less than $10,000, because there's fees every year. It's going to be a couple hundred dollars a year. It costs about $270 for the first year just to set up, and then it's about $200 a year after that. So if you're working with, say, $3,000 or $4,000 in a retirement account, to me, to spend about 7 or 8% of it in fees, it's not a good way to start.
Yes. And let me ask you, Andrew, for people who, okay, say they can't do the $2,000 yet, what's a couple of options you can give them? I know one of them is see if you can go in on it with some family members and then split it between, you know, everybody who goes on it. What are some other things they can do just to get started in silver?
Yeah, that's usually what I'll do, is just say like talk to your friends or neighbor or family and just see if you could just pool it together. Other people have tried, put off purchasing for a month or two until they could save up the minimum, and they do come back. It's just, so we're happy to talk to them about why they need this and how it's going to help them. And they circle back.
Christine is also one of our moderators. She says, I have a question for Andrew. I need to withdraw approximately $3,000 from my account with you. I have more silver than gold. What should I sell, gold or silver?
I love that question. And mm-hmm. Hi, Christine. Christine is a client of ours, and she does have a precious metals IRA.
So hi, Christine.
If you have 2/3 silver and 1/3 gold, I think I would sell some of the gold, because silver still has a lot of room to run. Like silver has a great chance to double or triple in price. And if you're not going to need a big chunk of your IRA anytime soon, then keep it in the silver, because the gold will still go up, but it'll go up a lot slower percentage wise than the silver will. So I think I would sell some of the gold.
Okay. And maybe you should tell them quick, Andrew, why there's a minimum. It has to do with something with California.
Oh yeah. So yes. For us, that we have to charge sales tax, and the sales tax minimum is $2,000. And it's, we're not even set up for that. Like, we've never done transactions under 2000, because we don't want to have to do all the calculations and take care of that every single month. And also with the storage facility that ships the orders to our clients, they won't ship one that's under $2,000 either.
Yeah, exactly. Judy Barron, if I have a jumbo savings in a federal bank, can I buy silver and gold from you?
You absolutely can. Yes, okay. You should reach out.
Good go answer, Judy.
And by the way, we have a new website that we rolled out last week, and we have there's a special Ark of Grace landing page, and please come and take a look at it.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. And if we get is it a special handle, Andrew, that we can put up for people?
Not yet, but we're setting that one up.
Okay. As soon as Andrew sets it up, he'll let us know. We'll make sure to put it up for all of you. Let's see. We'll do one more question here. People have such good questions here. There's so many of them. Let's see. People are commenting how they've been saving copper pennies for years too, that they've grabbed onto copper and have been saving that as well.
Yeah. They call that junk copper now. So right now is the same thing for copper that the late 60s were for silver. So that copper will be worth something later. So if you have anything that's 1982 and before, mm-hmm. then that it has a higher content of copper.
Sharon is asking, is there a reference for what the junk silver would be worth in a practical application, or would a person have to look up each coin's value?
So it's sold by it's actually a great question. It's sold by the face value. So right now, a $1 in 90% silver goes for about $25 to $26. So, okay. So let's say that you have a Ben Franklin half dollar, then that's going to be worth about $12.50 or $13. And if you had a silver dime, it'd be worth about $2.50 to $2.60. So it works by the face value. So I think that if we were in an emergency situation and there's a way to communicate, maybe on Twitter or X, whatever it is now, you would say today's value for 90% silver is 26 times the face value.
And, interesting. Okay. Yeah,
that's how we would know what it's worth.
This is a funny comment. Elaine Fryback said, wow, California must have high sales tax. California and New York, Miss Elaine, we both do. Yes.
It hurts, Elaine. It hurts. The sales tax is 9.75%.
So, and New York's up there. We're like, I think we're at 8.5 right now. I think we're trying to catch up to you, Andrew, here in New York. But it's creeping up here in New York also. Okay, let's see. All right. Well, I want to end with a really good question here. This is an interesting one. Patty is asking, what about a silverware set? So a silverware set that's all silver.
Okay. So for those, if you have them, those actually have to be inspected in person because some of them are silver filled, which doesn't mean that it has silver on the inside. It means that it's just silver plated.
Yeah.
And if you were to take that to, don't take it to a cash for gold places because those people are shysters. They will offer you 50 cents on the dollar.
Oh, that's so, thank you, Andrew, for telling our audience so they know.
Yeah. Don't go there. Go to a coin place that's in your neighborhood or in the biggest city near you. A brick and mortar place. There's probably one in your town that's been there 30, 40, 50 years. And walk in there with the set and have them give you a quote on what they would pay for it. So half the time they're silver plated and half the time they're really solid silver or sterling silver. But we've bought those many, many times in the past and it's still worth having. But unfortunately, most of the time they get melted down and new coins are made.
Okay, last question. This is an interesting one, Andrew. I have a question, please. Can my aunt send my inheritance to you?
Yeah, she absolutely can.
For gold and silver.
Yeah, they can do that. It's we've had it happen many times where people are
saying, that was a first.
Yeah, it's like my aunt.
That was a first. That question. Okay.
People will call and say, "Hey, my aunt has already told me what my inheritance will be, and she has it sitting in account until the day that it actually becomes mine." And we've had that happen where that does get turned into gold and silver and in a storage account. Okay. So here's a great idea. Okay. This Forbidden Planet wants that inheritance.
Forbidden Planet is a regular comedian. Let me tell you. Okay.
You can set up a storage account in Delaware for a personal storage account. And you could put any person as a beneficiary on there. It could be like a joint account holder with beneficiary rights. Mm-hmm. So that's what your aunt should do is set it up in her name, make you the beneficiary. If something were to happen to her, which eventually, our time is going to come, it would transfer to you.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Well, Andrew, thank you. I know. This has been quite a range of questions today and peanut gallery comments from our audience. It's actually been great because it actually like gives Andrew a wide range of questions to answer.
Absolutely.
So well, Andrew, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I'll be thinking about Forbidden Planet for a little bit here.
You go ahead and do that, Andrew, but we have the information at the bottom of the screen. So please by email, by phone, or by going to their website, get a hold of Andrew.
please do. And it's not a high pressure deal, but the time to be able to do it while the prices are still cheap and the premiums are still low.
They're very low.
Running out. Yeah. It's running out. I'm surprised that it's lasted this long. So definitely reach out and do what you can.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank
you. See you in a couple weeks. Okay, that concludes our time with Andrew Sorcini. Once again, you can get a hold of him by email, by phone, or by going to bh-pm.com, and you can fill out the form, and one of Andrew's team members will call you. Why Andrew is great is because he answers a wide variety of questions that some of them have nothing to do with gold and silver. And it just has to do with markets, real estate, you name it. And he is very happy to answer. And he also tells me quite a bit that you guys are a wonderful audience. Ask some of the best questions that he gets, hands down. So you guys are amazing question answers, askers. And we thank you for that as well. And for the comic relief on the part of some of those who are, hi, but you just missed Andrew. You just missed him. You just missed him. Okay. So I also want you to, I'm still thinking about the first thing he said about the Republic First Bank closing. That's the name that straight out of the gate, the first quarter of the bank that closed. I'm sorry. That is not a coincidence, because if you notice, they keep trying to take the word Republic out, right? All the corrupt and the loonies out there, right? They keep trying to take it out and replace it with democracy. Our democracy. No, it's our republic. And so it's kind of like when I see that happen and these bank closures happen and the names of them, it is pointing right at what they want to do. You don't think they play that game? They do. And that is pointing at they want to close the republic first and then try to change it into some sort of socialistic, communistic, whatever you want to call it, foundation. So you guys take mental note of that has happened, because that is no coincidence. Also, once again, I'm going to announce to mark your calendars for tomorrow night, 5 p.m. We're going live Eastern Standard Time to unlock the mystery in this year's 2024 Kentucky Derby. There is a prophetic mystery in this year's Kentucky Derby that I think is going to blow many of your minds. It is there. It is a little hidden, but once you start peeling the layers off, it's quite amazing how this has shaped up. The reason why we're doing it now is because it is this coming Saturday, the Derby. And so we want to talk about unlocking this prophetic mystery within the Kentucky Derby, which is the first of three races of the Triple Crown. So you have the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And the Belmonts, I believe, are in my home state of New York in Long Island. And so basically, we want to make sure to talk about this, because this is the beginning of a three-leg race that is highly, highly tied to what is happening in the nation. You don't think it gets tied, but it does get tied. Why? Because we have a spiritual realm with a war raging all around us all the time. And these things creep into aspects of life. Just like this closing of the Republic First Bank, same thing. They creep into the natural and you start to see these things. So we're going to talk about it tomorrow night. Mark your calendars, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're looking very forward to doing this with all of you. There it is. Yep. Unlocked on the last night of Passover, nonetheless. So we are doing this, which I think is prophetic in itself, on the last night of Passover, right before sundown. So what other amazing time could we do it than then? So we will be doing it then. And praise the Lord for that. So please mark your calendars for that. So thank you for joining us today. God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you all to say it every single day as well. As well as we have Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 35. Psalm 41 is another interesting psalm I think you should look into as well right now. But the word is living and active. We have to activate it. But also in the word, the Lord teaches us stewardship and how to be good stewards of what he has given us. There are multiple parables he tells about that that have more than one meaning. So I'm going to find those as well, and I'm going to make sure we have them as well to talk about next time. Because I think it's important. I think it's important. It is important to ask the Lord for wisdom and to use wisdom in what he gives you and how to use it and how to be a blessing to others in order for to further what the Lord wants done on this earth, how he wants people blessed, how he wants people to know his son, Jesus Christ, how he wants the kingdom and what he wants furthered. And I think that's all important to keep in mind as we do things. So just pray. Pray about it. Always, always pray. When you're seeking to do something, when you are seeking to be a steward of something, when you are seeking to take what God has given you and do what you always pray first. Don't ever make an emotional decision. I promise you, you will regret it. I implore you to pray first, because you know why? The Lord may say, yes, go ahead. Or he may redirect you and say, wait on this. I want you to go this route right now. And this is why it's important in all things to have him first, because where your heart is, your treasures are. And he wants you to seek him as well for that reason, because you're willing to put it all in front of him and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? So that's just a little something for you to take note of, to encourage you in. So thank you everyone for joining us. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hello everyone, Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK.